He always seems to get involved, doesn't he?
I'm telling you, too many coconuts have hit him right on top of the skull.
Well, I think Anthony will be a great acquisition. He can do it all.
Avery, whose show is this? And we're live. Welcome, everybody, here to the Lakers Lounge Podcast. I'm Anthony Irwin, joined on this fine Thursday night by Raj Chapalu, who has some news that we'll get to here in a second. He wasn't on the show yesterday. Raj, I actually made a pro-JHS point on a podcast.
Wow.
And you weren't here to witness it. Unfortunately, that is my quota for the year. So, you know, tough spot. Tough spot that you find yourself in now, but here we are.
I feel very vindicated because of the love that Scottie Pippen Jr. and Jay are forgetting. I feel like it's really adding to my point. So I feel like people are finding out like, oh, that kind of makes some sense. Like that kind of makes some sense while you're not over a prospect after like 100 minutes. But I'm glad you came on the side for a little bit and then jumped 2 feet right back over. But at least you got to see what this side is like for a little bit.
I don't even know what side it was. It was just like, hey, he's played 21 games.
Yes.
He's like, he can barely drink legally if he can. You know, maybe wouldn't give up on him as quickly as the Lakers appear to have. Anyway, we'll talk about the South Bay Lakers here in a bit because of Raj's big news. We also have to talk about Anthony Davis and the foot issue that he is dealing with. This is about as technical as the terminology gets from the Lakers. They said he's dealing with plantar fasciitis, something I have had way too much experience with. I guess I can outline some of what he's going through, what this would mean here moving forward. I also, as a result of, some of the stuff we've been seeing from D'Angelo Russell, have been wondering a lot more lately about Zach LaVine. I was told earlier in the year or coming into the year that, you know, just kind of keep an eye on that name and that the Lakers are probably going to circle back now that LaVine is healthy. Now that JJ Redick appears to have realized that D'Angelo Russell is in fact D'Angelo Russell. We're going to talk about LaVine too, but drum roll, please. Raj, what's your big news?
Yeah, so I have joined on with Clutch Points. I'll be their official G League reporter, their beat reporter, which is nice, which is really cool, and kind of be their beat guy for all the Lakers young players. And that's basically it. I posted that on Twitter, and I appreciate everyone who's kind of shown love and the DMs and the mentions and all that. So I'll definitely... Dude, it's always tough when you post news like that, Anthony, and like you're going down the line and like you're trying to just reply to everybody and you look at the clock, it's been an hour and you just have not moved, you know, and you're just like trying to thank everybody, which I'll get to. But it's been cool. Went to media day today for South Bay and kind of got to talk to some of the players and the coaches. But I'm excited, man. It feels like, you know, Bronny's having very much a Caitlin Clark, you know, impact on South Bay, and the tickets have already jumped over to, you know, crazy amounts, which is really cool. I think more people should go to South Bay, and it's at the Lakers facility. Like, it's a beautiful place to go. It's a really cool like place.
It's
in
a tiny gym. There is not a single bad seat in that arena.
No, not at all. Yeah, very small.
Other than the coach who has to decide, like, do I play Bronny in this spot?
All right.
Or do I play the better player?
Oh man, that's still a great seat. That's still an amazing seat to be at. By the way, like Zach Guthrie looks like even somehow the Lakers got an even younger coach than JJ for their South Bay team. It's funny. I got to talk to him today. It's like, man, he looks younger than JJ. We're just, you know, destroying the market on all the super young coaches that are available. I'm excited to kind of get started. And, you know, we got JHS spoke today as well, and Maxwell Lewis, who are named as vets on that team. Again, like I'm going to keep pushing this drum, Anthony. We just saw Scottie Pippen Jr. and Jay Huff, who were seasoned veterans on the South Bay squad, become legit players and hand the Lakers a loss. and maybe destroyed our locker room. I saw some videos of JJ Redick on the bench, which were pretty insane. His reaction to some of the
I grabbed one of them. Here's one of them. Here's JJ's reaction to the shot.
Is this the jumper?
Yes.
The corner by Huff, tend to shoot. Steps back beyond the arc, blocked by Huff. A Huff stuff.
They zoom in on JJ.
You know how upset he must have been, like, to get to that point. The Lakers were already down, I think, like 19 at that point. So he's already kind of accepted defeat of the loss.
Yeah.
And like for that shot to just push him over the edge. Yeah, dude. he looked upset.
I told Rob to fucking trade him. Were you not watching the last two pushes? That's wrong. Like,
oh man.
I don't even care how much draft compensation we need. Go get me a guard who can get by Scott.
Oh man. 22 minutes.
The fun bit to introduce to the show. JJ Redick's like inner monologue. You know, the JJ Redick translator. I am absolutely thrilled for you. I said this on Twitter earlier today. It's just something really cool, you know, seeing people really chase their dreams and see people willing to put in the work to get after it and make shit happen for themselves. So, you know, obviously thrilled to have you a part of the Clutch Points Lakers team. You know, I think there's probably a pretty good chance that you'll be filling in some and being credentialed for some actual Lakers games too over the course of the season too. And I'm really excited for that opportunity for you too. And I apologize in advance for the, you know, crooked looks that you're gonna get because of stuff that I say and I write. In those moments that you were,
right, yeah,
that you that you're there and covering the team for them, but I was, you know, when I was getting hired by Clutch Points, they had kind of asked, hey, obviously you covered the team from afar, is there anybody that you would like to work with? And I was like, dude, there's this guy who wants this more than anybody, he is going to put in the work. He is an absolute, you know, undeniable force in terms of like his love of basketball and his love of doing this and how badly he wants to do this. I keep on trying to keep him away from this. but he just won't go away. Let's give Raj a shot. And I was, you know, just absolutely thrilled that this all worked out. And I know that a lot of the coverage is going to be kind of circus stuff, you know, covering Bronny and all of the noise that kind of follows him there too. But I also think that there's a lot of value that you're going to bring when you're actually breaking down the basketball that is being played on that court there by those South Bay Lakers as well. And there's some great stories to tell. I think some of my favorite interviews that I've ever done were with South Bay Lakers. You know, we asked somebody at one point, Harrison and I did, if they'd ever been traded for a machine, a washing machine. And they understood the joke and they rolled with the joke. They understood like what was going on there. PR person who was there present didn't love it as much. But it's just, I think that the biggest thing here is I love seeing people who I know are going to get after it, get these kinds of opportunities. And now it's on you to make of it what you will. But congratulations. But I'm really, really happy for you.
Yeah, I appreciate that. And obviously, thank you. People don't know the amount of, you know, questions that I ask for you. And after these shows and the how long these conversations go, or I get to pick your brain. And obviously, you've helped me a ton in this situation. And, you know, everybody else around, you know, Harrison, Sabrina, Aaron, list go on of all the people that have kind of answered my questions through this stuff. But I'm excited, man. Like today, Quincy Oliveri was like a star, you know, and I feel like he's a guy that needs his story told. Alex Fuzz just came off a finals run, and like, you know, it was cool to kind of talk to him. And I definitely want to bring like a different view to this type of coverage. I've told you this privately all the time, but like, I feel like basketball coverage has such a gap in terms of how it's viewed, especially how the NFL is covered and other sports kind of are allowed to be super detailed, while basketball kind of gives you a lot of surface level, you know, stuff in terms of their coverage. So I'm excited to be a part of that. Hopefully, you know, that's something that other people really gravitate to as well. But yeah, just excited as hell to get to work. I was like there super early. I was the first media person there. I was like, can I just come inside? They're like, no, I'm sorry. You got to stay outside till we open the doors. I was like, all right, that's fine. But no, it's really cool. Excited to be there Saturday as well. Bronny's first game, you know, tickets are already going crazy on the, you know, secondary, third markets. So if you haven't got your ticket, it's going to be tough to get in the door without spending a couple $100s. But yeah, make sure to tune in. And if you can get to some South Bay games, please do. And if you're there, hit me up on Twitter. I'd love to say hi. Again, it's a small gym, so we can definitely run into each other.
Yeah. No, I've been saying for years that South Bay Lakers games are a delight to go to. Now, unfortunately, I moved away before they started playing in that arena that they play in. And obviously the commute from Austin, Texas to the UCLA Medical Center is a little tough. It's a little tough to make.
It's worth it.
but I, you know, you look at the gym and you know, cause they televise these games and you can see on there, it's like, you know, you're on the court basically, you know. I kind of wonder at some point, you know, with the amount of attention that Bronny is getting, if they play a couple games in bigger arenas, to maybe get a bigger payday on
this side of it. I may not sleep the night before. Like, that might be the most exciting nights of my life. Like, that would be so incredible. That'd be amazing to, like,
yeah,
come to a South Bay game in crypto would be just an awesome thing.
Hey,
like, hopefully that happens.
People spend money on dumber things. All right. So let's dive on into the Lakers, and the actual biggest news of the day, aside from Raj's big update there, is that Anthony Davis is apparently dealing with plantar fasciitis. This would explain why they are saying that it was something he was dealing with back during the Olympics. It's the kind of thing that, like, it comes and it goes and it sticks around and it lingers and it feels like it's never going to go away. And then one morning you wake up and, you know, holy shit, it doesn't hurt like hell to walk right now. It's a lot of ice. It's a lot of, you know, staying off of it. It's a lot of rest whenever you possibly can. It's a lot of stretching if you're getting ready to play, even though it doesn't seem to make a ton of sense that you're getting ready to given what's going on. So basically, if you think of, I'm going to try to turn my hand here, but like, if you basically think of, like, it just doesn't work. But if you, like, this is the arch of the foot right here, right? Okay. And so the plantar fascia is, like, you know, this tendon that runs along the bottom of your foot here. And you know, if you, like, bang your heel enough, and if you, you know, do enough of jumping and running and stuff like that, eventually, like, you're going to start to feel some kind of discomfort there. Plantar fasciitis is the swelling that takes place there, and it's these little micro tears that take place along that kind of tendon that I just kind of tried to point out. And I think the case of plantar fasciitis that I always kind of come back to is actually Luke Walton, who dealt with it a ton. And at one point, you know, I remember one of the updates was like his plantar fascia tore. And actually, it's more comfortable than if you keep on having that same pain. It means that you have a you know, I think usually people get surgery for it eventually if it does tear. But it's actually more comfortable when that thing finally gives way, because that pull and that swelling that gets in there and those little micro tears, it just, dude, I don't know if you've ever dealt with it. It is so annoying. It's between that and, like, tweaking your Achilles tendon. It is just, like, those are two super, super annoying things that obviously can grow into bigger ones, but they just linger. And, you know, it's the way that most people ice it is actually to freeze a water bottle and then basically roll your foot on this water bottle. And that doesn't feel great because you're putting pressure on the exact spot that hurts while you're doing it. Like, I don't know if I've, to those who have been paying attention long enough, I used to box, and the worst pain, I think two pains that I suffered that were the absolute killers was one time I broke my wrist and it had to be set and they didn't do anything for it. But then another time, or the other times, plural, where you're boxing and you get hit enough and your face swells up and they literally take an ice block and they like rub the swelling out, and that shit hurt like a motherfucker. Plantar fasciitis is another version of that exact same thing where you're literally trying to rub swelling out of this already tender spot. So, I hope that it doesn't linger as much as it does for normal people for AD. But when I heard that this is what he was dealing with, I was like, yeah, that tracks. Okay. That makes sense.
Well, good thing the Lakers, have a team that can really, afford for Anthony Davis to take his time and be patient and really let this thing heal. Like, good thing the Lakers have a lot of,
so many big bodies.
Yeah, a lot of centers. South Bay, by the way, has two additional 7-footers beside Koloko. So, some ammunition there. The good thing, AD. Now, that sounds rough. I've never actually, dealt with that. Probably dealt with something similar, not the exact same thing in terms of on the foot. When you mentioned that, like, it hurt, I think I read that it hurts when you're, like, jumping and making contact. It's like, well, that's kind of his whole job. I mean, that's, like, part of the whole job description of AD is to be jumping and protecting the rim and switching on the perimeter and pretty much be in motion. It's a tough thing to deal with. Thankfully, I guess the Sixers are like handing us a win on Friday. Like, all their players are out. Paul George is on a minutes restriction, so there's some you should be able to hang with that version of the Sixers that's coming in. Although a desperate team at 1-7, I think, are they 1-6 or whatever they're at?
1-6, I think now.
1-6, which is a pretty desperation squad. Perfect for Paul George to come be the leader on, but a very desperate ball club that's coming in. So maybe AD can sit that one and the Lakers can afford it. But, Anthony, yeah, rewatching that Memphis game, I don't know how he gets stops, without AD, even just his physical body being there, like, has a deterrent for other players. When he's out of the game, I feel like it's a free run to the rim for pretty much every guy. The Lakers kind of
Loco looks so small out there. He looks so skinny. A long body and stuff like that, but he's a slender man. It's crazy how much weight he's giving up to any average NBA center.
I was hoping to speak to him today, and they're like, oh, well, he's coming off a flight from Memphis, so he's not going to be here at media day. I was like, well, I mean, we got a game tomorrow. It's not like he has like a ton of time to recover, but
he's stuck on the tarmac. How long's the flight from Memphis?
Right.
Gary Beatty's still running the air traffic control. So they flew out to Nashville first. They're stuck in Nashville right now on a layover on their way back from Memphis. Sorry, bud. You can't talk to Christian Koloko. I don't know. The point that you're making, though, is facetiously as you're making it, is a good one, though, is that, like, normally with plantar fasciitis, the remedy is rest. Mm-hmm. The remedy is to stay off your foot for a little bit, get it elevated, get that ice in there as often as you can, stretch it and do all of those things so that, the next time you actually do step on the court, that isn't in the back of your mind at all. Again, he was dealing with this in the Olympics. So I'm sure that he was hoping that he would be able to play in those few games there and then rest in the months leading up to the season. But this is the thing about this stupid fucking injury is that, like, my fists are bald thinking about the plantar fasciitis that I've dealt with in the past. It hurts, man. It, like, there are people who are like, there's a commenter here. I think it's Isobar, who was saying that I've had it and had to get shots in his arch. There are some people who have to wear like full on boots, when they're dealing with this, that make that, impact in that area not so tough. Like, think of it like this, Raj. Imagine, imagine sticking a rock about the size of like an AirPod case.
Okay.
In your shoe under your arch. And then like walk around like that for like a week, you know, and that's essentially how like that's the sensation that that, you know, AD is kind of dealing with where, you know, it can sometimes it's just annoying. There are sometimes it's like I just need to get the stupid rock out of my shoe, like just this really. And then sometimes it's a stabbing pain when that tendon really gets stretched. It's just not a fun experience.
So here's my question. We're on game 9. Like I'm wondering like what, like how, is this something that surgery is necessary, or is this something like where rest kind of can heal it completely? Like we need AD for the long haul. Like I understand we need to also rack up wins now, but I mean 4-4 gives you a little bit of wiggle room to kind of, you know, I think this team has enough talent at least to win on Friday, and then you can kind of reassess from there. But yeah, is this something that like needs surgery or like real attention, or like you think
surgery,
this is a rest?
No, like if he's able, like the fact that he's considered probable for Friday's game would indicate that surgery doesn't seem likely, right,
equation. Yeah,
but you know, it is the kind of thing that just kind of just like sits there, man. It's, you know, you'll see this sometimes with like a lot of soft tissue injuries where pull a hammy and it just kind of stays there all season. You pull a groin and it just kind of stays there all season. Sometimes it gets better, sometimes it gets worse, but you know, oftentimes just kind of like you kind of keep coming back to it over the course of the season. So again, if the Lakers had an able-bodied center, ideally AD could take a week or so off and just see how it feels after a week. But could you imagine this team without Anthony Davis for a week?
Yeah.
Could you imagine this team without Anthony Davis for a 5-minute stretch?
Right. Yeah. Like, no, there's no, I just don't know how we survive defensively without him. And LeBron had 39, you know, and I thought LeBron played his best game of the season so far in Memphis. And still, like, it was pretty much a runaway game in the second half. It was funny because, again, today we have a two-way Anthony, Armel Traore, who's like 6'8", but you know, and I asked him like, "Hey, are you interested in being like a small ball center?" He's like, "Nah, more like a bigger forward." I was like, "All right, so kind of like you're not gonna get me on that." But yeah, the Lakers definitely need some center help. Jackson Hayes and Koloko, that's a rough center rotation, especially with the amount of responsibilities the center has and the amount of small guards that we play. It emphasizes the need for your center to be that much better defensively. And yeah, without AD, I think this is going to be a rough watch for the next few days. Hopefully, you know, he's back. He's probable, like you mentioned. So I'm expecting him to play on Friday just out of necessity. The team is, what, 1-4 in their last 5.
I hope that he's able to play and they're able to beat the shit out of the Sixers quickly enough so that he can, like, get out of there and put that ice on that foot and just kind of take it easy. Because yeah, the longer that this just kind of lingers, man, the scarier that it can kind of feel, you know. So you know, hopefully the biggest thing is like you just hope it doesn't get worse, right? Right now it seems like it's manageable. It's a pain tolerance thing. Can you go tonight? No. Can you go tonight? Yeah, kind of thing. But what you don't want is for it to get worse, and then I'd have to ask Jen about surgery, if it fully tears, like if it actually does rip apart. I would imagine that would require surgery, but I'd have to look back and think about it. Jen, I was asking her if she wanted to come on the show tonight to be able to explain some of this stuff. But my son has been waking up pre-5 in the morning ever since it changed from daylight savings time. Mm-hmm. And I told her, babe, you're good. I will bullshit my way through this and ask you questions later. Let's segue to somehow more painful, a more painful conversation, a more painful topic, and that is the Lakers guard rotation. You have JJ Redick fighting chairs on the sideline because of D'Angelo Russell. You, before that, it's so funny how Gabe Vincent just keeps on kind of like sliding away from accountability because D'Angelo Russell is just so much more loud in everything that he does. Before that before the game that Reddick was fighting a chair, he said like he called out Gabe Vincent in all but name. He said right. The exact number of minutes that Gabe Vincent played, 18, and mentioned the exact
guy with GV initials. Yeah, like
did it. The exact number of shots that Gabe Vincent didn't take, 0. He did everything he could, but name Gabe Vincent specifically. So he has now called out the two veteran, you know, kind of leader point guards that the Lakers were hoping to lean on. You have Max Christie, who has already been supplanted in the rotation by Cam Reddish. And you have Dalton Knecht, who, like, because of all of the noise elsewhere, nobody is really paying attention to the fact that Dalton Knecht, like, clearly isn't quite ready for the role that the Lakers need him to play, too, in order to, like, make up for what the other guys aren't bringing. So, it led me to a dark place, Raj. And yeah. I had that executive tell me earlier this year, hey, man, just so you know, this is going to come up again.
But
Zach Levine's healthy now, and he's playing good basketball. We know how much the Lakers like their stars. This guy's a former All-Star. Couldn't you see it being sold by Pelinka? And the Lakers is like, Lakers acquire multi-time All-Star and multi-time slam dunk contest champion or winner or whatever, Zach LaVine. And I was like, yeah, but that's just like so much money that they would have to send out. And they would put themselves right back into the same situation that they found themselves in with Russ. I just can't see it. But, you know, the more time that goes on, the more I start to wonder, is this going to be a thing here moving forward? But the question I have to you, Raj, is like, would it solve anything?
Well, before that, I'm going to put you in a little darker place because I'm going to take my second Cam Reddish victory lap that I'm going to take around the park because he played again.
Did you hear me and Harrison describe what that lap is?
No, I didn't get
it. It's the mile that you run for like seventh grade PE. We're like, you have to run a mile. It's not a victory lap. It's a lap. It's just running.
I actually loved that mile because I remember I got first place in that mile. I remember, I'm gonna take the lap because he played again against Memphis, and again I'm seeing more and more people kind of ask for Reddish minutes, which I think I kind of saw coming. But the guard rotation is funny watching Gabe Vincent finally get mentioned by JJ Redick in terms of his shot selection. It's just that's just not sustainable, Anthony. Have a guard play 20 minutes. And take no shots, like take 0. He didn't record an assist, a shot, or a point, or a rebound in like 20 minutes in the game before, which is impressive, which is extremely impressive to like go out there for that long and just absolutely get cardio. He did get one steal. I got to go back and see what he did. And the second thing, you mentioned this to start the year, and I think this is true. You mentioned that the front office would look at the record and look at the team and kind of assess, okay, is it worth it spending draft capital to make this team better? Like, that's a real assessment that they'll do. I'm not sure the exact calculation of what it is. It's definitely not like 4-8 or 4-7, going into their first 11 games. And Zach LaVine is such an investment on that. And even forgetting that, I think like his health concern is just something where no matter what he averages, like, it's just not, in my opinion, their cards and like in our cards in terms of, what he is and what it would take to get him. So I don't think he solves everything either. To me, this team has a defensive problem. We've given up before going into the Memphis game, and then against Memphis, we gave 131 points. So it probably added to this, but we were like sixth in points allowed. We were second in, after the Memphis game, we were second worst, or 20 or 30, whatever it is, 29th in a defensive rating, right above the injury riddled Hawks and right above the injury riddled Pelicans. Our defense is terrible. And this is with AD playing. AD just missed his first game. Like, this is with AD Anthony playing like 40 minutes a night. Yeah. And this is an awful, awful defensive team. Somehow worse than last year. But I'm not sure how that happened. Got to look at the numbers. We have played good teams to start the season, but even with that being the case, this team just bleeds points. And a part of that too, to me, is LeBron's defensive engagement, which like as a 40-year-old, I get it. Well, I mean, I don't get it. I'm not 40, but like I think I would understand at 40 of not being as defensively locked in as he is. Then around that, if he's not locked in, then you have the foot speed issues of Rui, D'Lo, and Austin. It's just a lot on AD's plate to take care of. So Lakers have a defensive issue, which take my lap one more time. Welcome to the Lakers again, Cam Reddish.
Yeah, I mean, it's this happens to me quite a bit where it's like I was hoping not to be right.
This is not what I'm hoping. This is not a celebratory drink. Like this is ice with water. I'm not, you know, out here celebrating these
that would be that funny if you're like, congratulations, Cam Reddish.
Like my first drink on air is like because of that. Yeah,
it's like straight vodka because of Cam Reddish. That was a big goal.